Okay, today's daf is Bav Metzia daf Ayin Gimel. We are holding on daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis. We are at, at Tanur Rabbanan, which is the last word on the line on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, about 15 lines before the end of the page. We were discussing the notion of Yatsa HaSha'ar, that once the price has been set, so then you can give the money today for peros in the future, because if the guy wanted, he could take that money and buy those peros today at the current price and give you those peros right now. He's choosing on his own to pay you back later with peros, and that's perfectly fine. So the Gemara is going to discuss a number of details of Yatsa HaSha'ar. What if there's a difference between new grain and old grain? What if there's a difference between, in terms of price, between whether you're buying it from Aniyim or you're buying the grain from other people? Do we still assume that that has a status of Yatsa HaSha'ar? We're also going to talk about if you could pay back a loan at today's Sha'ar, or if you can only do that if it's Derech Mekach. I mean, everything we've been assuming is that you're buying for the future, but you're paying money now, but it's not a loan. What if you lend someone money and it's Derech Halva'a? Is that also okay? Is Yatsa HaSha'ar a heter in that case as well? The Gemara is also going to talk about paying back produce when there are different prices in different places, and there's a special heter we're going to discover for chamarim, for people who make a living by bringing produce from a place where you can get it for cheap to a place where it costs a little more money, and making money off of that difference. The Gemara is going to give cases that look like ribbis on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, cases that look like ribbis but for whatever reason, for a variety of reasons, are not ribbis. How you can get around the ribbis problem in a number of these cases, and gedolei amoraim took advantage of some of these loopholes. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about prepaying for wine, why there might be a difference when it comes to wine versus other produce, where it might be okay to prepay for wine, even though you're assuming no risk, because you're only going to take delivery of the wine once whatever has spoiled has already spoiled, so you're only taking from the good stuff because you prepaid in advance. And then the Gemara is going to talk about the benefits of paying someone else's taxes. If you pay someone else's land tax, do you have a right to his land? If you pay the head tax, do you have the right to make him your eved, to make him work for you? What the possible benefits are when you cover someone else's taxes. And then the daf is going to conclude with a discussion of what happens if a shliach was sent to buy wine and he didn't buy the wine. You sent him to buy wine in a place where it's somewhat cheaper, he didn't buy the wine. Can you make him pay you back wine based on the price of the cheapest possible place to buy wine? Or do you say, no, he didn't do the shlichus, the whole thing is cancelled, so you can just ask for your money back, but you can't ask for wine at the cheapest possible rate. So let's begin. Tanur Rabbanan, last word on the line on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, about 12:59 before the end of the page. Tanur Rabbanan. Ein poskin ala peros ad sheyotza ashar. One is not supposed to set a price for peros in the sense that he should not give money right now for peros in the future unless there is already yotza ashar. There's already an established price right now for those peros. Yotza ashar, once there's already an established price for those peros, poskin afal pishein lazeh yesh lazeh. Then you could be posek. You could decide to give money right now for peros in the future, even though the guy you're giving the money to doesn't have peros, because other people have peros at that price. So if he wanted, he could take that money and buy from any of those other people right now, and he can give you those peros. Now it gets a little tricky though. What if the new grain, which is still moist and therefore it's not great, when you have a grain that's moist, it's a little too it doesn't grind well into nice fine flour, so you have new grain that cost four sa'ah for to sell it, meaning you get four, let's say, instead of calling it sa'ah, we'll call it boxes. Let's say you get four boxes of grain for one sa'ah, v'yishanos mishalosh. And the old grain, you can only get three boxes of grain for a sa'ah, because the old grain is of higher quality, it's already been dried out, it's a much better grain. You cannot pay right now one sella for and ask to get four boxes of grain in the future, of dry grain in the future, because today you couldn't buy 4 sa'ah of dry grain at that price. So you can only do it if there's the same price for chadash and yashan. Similarly, hayulukutos me'arba ulukala demishalosh, if when buying from aniyim who go into fields and just have a mix and match of whatever grain they can find in different people's fields, so there's very little quality control on the types of grains that they're selling. Rashi writes, stam tavus lukutos einon yafin. We assume generally their grain is not so great because they're loktin bekamasados umarvin shibalishivon and shibalichitin. They're mixing all different types of grains in there, so it's like this potpourri of different grains. Not a great product. So let's say you could buy grain from lukutos, from these poor people who collect from all these different fields, you could buy 4 boxes of grain for 1 sella. Ulukala de mishalosh. But when you're buying from professionals, from people who sell grain and who are giving you a nicer product, you can only get 3 boxes of grain for that 1 sella. So then you can't be posek with a balabayas for the price of 4 boxes of grain for a sella, unless the where a regular person and an ani have the same price, because an ani can get it for a cheaper price, or what the ani is selling rather is for a cheaper price, doesn't mean that the guy you're buying it from can sell it for a cheaper price. Amrav Nachman poskel lekutos keshar lekutos. If you're buying from the ani, then sure you can. Then you can set the price at what the ani normally sells it as, even though right now he's not delivering. He's going to deliver it to you later on. Amle Rav Nachman maisha loketi lesa yaziv milakut chavrei balabayis nami yaziv milakut. Why is it when you're buying from an ani, you can pay the dollar for 4 boxes of grain because that's what aniim sell it for, even though this guy doesn't have it, because we make the assumption, yeah, he doesn't have it, but if he wanted, he could take your dollar and go to another ani and buy 4 boxes of grain and give you that. So when you buy from the balabais, can't you say the same thing? Why is it when I buy from a rich person, if I give him the dollar today, so we said, no, I'm not allowed to ask for 4 boxes of grain in the future for the dollar I'm giving him today, because from balabatim today, I would only get 3 boxes of grain for a dollar. Yeah, but if today he wanted to go and provide you with the grain, he could just turn to an ani and buy it from an ani and give you that. So he can give you right now, today, the 4 boxes that you asked for. So what's the problem with that? Why can't I give the dollar to the balabayas today and let him give me the 4 boxes of grain today? Let him give me the 4 boxes of grain in the future, because if he wanted, he could have just gone to an ani and bought it today. So says Mari, he never would do that. He would never buy from an ani to provide you with the grain that you're buying from him. The balabayas, it's beneath him to go to a poor person who's got this potpourri of different grains and this mix and low quality boxes of grains. There's no way he would buy that. Or another possible reason why that wouldn't happen is that when you're buying from balabais, there's an expectation of quality. So he cannot fill your order by going to a lakut and buying the cheap grain that the lakut has. He can only fill your order by giving you the higher quality grain, and therefore it's ribbis, because you're giving him a dollar today, and really you should only be getting 3 boxes of high quality grain for your dollar, but since he's paying you in 6 months from now, he's going to give you 4 boxes of high quality grain for your dollar. That's a violation of ribbis. Amrav Sheshes Amrav Huna Ein Lovin Al Shar Shabashuk. That we've been talking about Derech Mekach, that you're buying it, it's just that you're not getting delivery of the product immediately. The delivery of the product's coming months later. So he said, okay, so if it's Yatzah Hashar, that's okay. Once the price has already been set, that's okay if it's Derech Mekach. What about if it's Derech Halva'a? I lend the guy money with the understanding that he's going to pay me back with either money or produce that is worth the amount that you can get for that money today. So we set the price at today, and he's going to pay me in 6 months from now at today's prices, with produce at today's prices. Says Gemara, no, you can't do that. That you're not allowed to do, because that really is derech halva'a, really looks a lot more like ribbis. It's not a sale, it's a loan, and he's paying you back later at today's prices, because he gets to hang on to that money for that whole time. Rav Yosef bar Chama, Rav Sheshes, Does Rav Huna really hold this way, that it's a problem when it's derech halva'a? V'abay minei Rav Huna, didn't they ask the shayla of Rav Huna? Hani b'nei be'rav, these b'nei be'rav, the b'nei yeshiva, di yazfi b'tishrei, upari b'teves, who borrow money in Tishrei, and they pay back money in Teves, but they don't pay back with money, they pay back with peiros using the Tishrei prices. They pay back with peiros in Teves. So they pay back in 6 months from now with peiros, but they're paying back at today's prices. Sharia wasir. Is that mutter, is that asir? And you know what Rav Huna said? Amalu, hachiti bihini vachiti bishili. There's wheat that you could find in Hini and wheat that you can find in Shili, meaning if they vibai, if they wanted, Zavni Uparile. They could sell the wheat, they could buy wheat for with this money right now, and they could pay back in Teves. So they're not benefiting by holding on to this money, because they could have taken that money right away and bought grain right then. So apparently this heter of Yatzah Ashar works even derech halva'a, according to Rav Huna. There was a Maisa Shahaya where they asked Rav Huna, and it was a case of derech halva'a, and Rav Huna was perfectly fine with it. So how can you tell me that Rav Huna holds that the whole heter of Yatzah Ashar only works for derech mekach, and that it doesn't work for derech halva'a? Here we have a Maisa Shahaya where Rav Huna paskin the Maisa, that it works for derech halva'a. Says Gemara, Me'ikara Savar Rav Huna Ein Lovin, Kivin Desham La'adam Rav Shmuel Baruch Hiyam, Rav Lazar Lovin, Amar Yunami Lovin. Yeah, he changed his mind. Sometimes great people change their minds. So initially he thought that it was Asr, it was derech halva'a. Then he heard from someone else who said that it was mutter, and he accepted that psak, that it was in fact mutter, and that's the story. It was after he had changed his mind and he had already accepted that psak. Tar Rabbanan, hamolech chavila mimakom lemakom. If a person is bringing a bundle of goods to sell in a place where you can where you could sell it for more money, he's taking it from somewhere where you can only sell it for cheap to somewhere else where you could sell it for more money. Mutzo chavero, and he runs into a friend of his that's still in the place where you can only sell it for cheap. Tell you what, give me the produce that you want to sell, and I will take this produce to the place where it's going to sell for more money. I'm going to sell it there. Then I'll use that money for whatever I need up until a certain time, and then when it comes the time to pay you back, I'll pay you the amount of money you would have gotten if you would have sold it in the more expensive place. So you think you can, you know, right now this produce is worth $10 here. It's worth $100 somewhere else. You don't have to schlep. I'll do all the schlepping. I'll go to somewhere else and I'll sell it, and I'll give you the full $100 in a month from now. What do I gain from it? Is that I can use that money for a month. You know, I'll pay you back ultimately in a month from now, but I'll be able to because I'm doing all the schlepping, I'll be able to use that money for a month, and I'll be able to invest in whatever, and then I'll give you back $100 in a month from now. So birushus mocher, it all depends whose rishus it's in. It all depends who takes achrayus for this produce while it's being schlepped from point A to point B, while it's being schlepped from the cheap place to the expensive place. If it's the achrayus of the mocher, that the original seller is taking upon himself the achrayus, that if anything were to happen, the lokeach would not have to pay him for the bundle, then it's mutter, because kol zman that it hasn't been sold, it's not a loan at all, it's a pikadon. It's only after it's sold that it becomes a halva'a, and so when it becomes a halva'a, it's already it's already worth $100, because it's in the place where you can actually get $100. So he's paying $100 for $100. But Bereshus Lokeach, but if the responsibility of the loss of any of the produce on the way is taken upon himself by the Lokeach, so that if it's, even if something terrible happens and he loses all of it, he's still going to have to pay the $100, even though he never sold a single penny of it. So then it turns out that this is Alva already from right now, where it costs $10. So I'm borrowing from him something that's worth $10, and I'm paying back $100. That's ribbis. That's usr. So if I'm only taking responsibility for it once I actually sell it, then that's the point of halva'a, and I'm getting a halva'a of $100 and paying back $100 is fine. But if I'm taking responsibility for it right now, before I actually sell it, then so I'm taking responsibility for something that's worth $10, because right here it's only worth $10, that's going to be usr, because I'm borrowing $10 and paying back $100. It says Tosos, Pershus Mocher Mutter, Ukigon Shinosno Schara Malo Mazono, Shale Tarech Lo Bishar Alva'a. Yet you have to also assume that he's paying him for his troubles. That there's otherwise it's a separate ribbis problem. You're not paying him for all of his troubles, which means that he's doing he's doing all this work because you're lending him the money, and that would be that's stam ribbis. So it has to be that all the tircha, all the work that he's doing, all the schlepping that he's doing, you're paying him separately for that. That's a separate cheshbon. So what's the chiddush that it's mutter then? You're paying him for all of his work, and he's only borrowing money from you when it's worth $100, and he's paying you back $100. What's the chiddush that that's mutter? The whole chiddush is the second half, that if the lokech takes the responsibility right now in the makom azul, that is considered ribbis, because one might have thought that he's not actually selling it until he gets to the makom ayoker, so really maybe it shouldn't be considered ribbis. So the chiddush is really in the second half. The chiddush is not in the first half, but that assumes Tosus's idea that you are paying him for the schar tircha that he's doing. Now, another example: Amolich Peros Mimakom Lumakom. Person takes peros from a place where they sell for cheap to a place where you can sell them for more money. Mitzoh Chavero, another guy finds you before you take the peros anywhere. Vamalot namely, and he says, you know, give me the peros right now, I'll use them here. And Vanyalach Peros Yeshli Ba'osamakom, I'll give you peros that I have in that other place. Im yesh lo peros ba'osa makom mutter. If he actually has peros right now in that other place, so this is a chalipin, so it's mutter. Meaning, give me the why schlep? What are you going to do? You're going to take the peros that you have here and schlep them there. I happen to want peros over here. So what am I going to do? I'm going to have to schlep my peros from there and bring them here? That's silly. Why don't you just take my peros that I have here? I'll just take your peros you have here. You take my peros that I have there. It's a chalipin right then and there, and that's perfectly mutter. But vimlav, if he happens to not have peros in that other place, he's just saying that when you go to that other place, I'll buy you peros and I'll give you peros. That's aser, because it's not a chalipin, it's a halva'a. And he's paying him peros in a place where peros are expensive for peros that he got in a place where peros are cheap. So that's a violation of ribbis, because he's giving him something expensive for something cheap. So that's going to be a problem. V'achamarim, the people who own donkeys who transport things, and that's how they make money. They bring grain from a place where it's cheap and they sell it in a place where it's expensive. Malim b'makom hayoker, they could take money from balabatim who are rich in a place where grain is sold for a lot of money, use that money for whatever amount of time, al-minas, that they're going to pay it later on, kibbamakom azul, they're going to pay back in grain based on the cheaper prices, based on the prices of grain in the place where it's cheaper, vein choshen, and you don't have to worry about an isser ribbis. It's considered as if they bought the grain for the people who loaned them the money in the cheaper place, and they're going to just deliver it back to their cities. So since that's the actual value of the grain in the cheaper place, that's perfectly fine. So says my time, why isn't that ribbis? Meaning certainly the fact that the chamarim are working and schlepping for the malvim and they're buying the peros in the cheaper place and they're bringing it, that's because they loaned them the money. Meaning, because you gave me money, you loaned me money, I'm willing to do all this work for you. So it's true, you could have gone yourself with all your money to a place where you can buy things for really cheap and bought it yourself, but you didn't. And you didn't do all the work. I did all the work. So why am I doing all that work? Because you loaned me the money. Isn't that exactly ribbis?
ribbis. So says Gemara, if Papa Amar nichaluhu de megaluhu tara. Now it's a good deal for the chamarim to be the shluchim of rich people and to use their money to buy in a place where stuff is cheap, because it looks good for them in business if they're walking in with wads of cash, if they have tons and tons of money, so it looks good for them in business. So that's what you really that's how the chamarim are really gaining off of this deal. Rav Achabrei, so it's not just because they borrowed the money that they have use of the money for that time, it's because the enhancement of their reputation, that's what they're getting paid with, the enhancement of the reputation. Rav Achabrei Dravika Amar Nichlu de Mosli Gabayu, the fact that they give the grain based on the cheaper price is because the people who sell it to them are going to sell it to them for a cheaper price because they're selling they're going to get a better deal on it because they have all this money to buy so much grain with. So my benai, what's the difference between Rav Papa's explanation and Rav Achabrei Dravika's explanation? Let's say you have a new guy in the business who people don't know yet as a socher. Rav Papa's reason would still apply, that if he has a lot of money that belongs to from rich people, he'll look like a big player in the market, and people are going to sell him with a lot of credit. They'll give him a lot of a good deal, but the enhancement of the reputation will help a lot. But the reason of Rav Achabrei Dravika wouldn't work, because since he's new to the market, people don't know him, and they're not going to trust him when he says that he's not making money off of this schora. So it's only gonna work for someone who already has a reputation. So says the Gemara, we have a Maisa Shaya. Besura Azli Arba Arba. In Sura, which is Rav's city, the cost of grain, let's say, was 4 boxes for one zuz of money. You get 4 boxes of grain. Bekafri, in another city called Kafri, Azlan Shita Shita, grain was much cheaper. You can get, let's say, 6 boxes of grain for that same price for one zuz. Yov Rav Zuzi L'Chamri, Rav would give money to the chamarim, to the donkey drivers, that they should buy for him grain in the cheaper place, and they'll bring it to Sura where Rav was. And Rav was mekabel on himself whatever ones might happen on the road, that if anything happens to the tevua on the way, he's going to lose. And then he took from these chamarim 5 boxes for the one zuz, which is more than he could have gotten for the one zuz here, but it's less than what they actually got for the one zuz in the place that they bought it. So ask the Gemara, Vinishkal Shisa, why couldn't he take all 6 sin? Why couldn't he take all 6 boxes of grain? After all, the Braisa says that Chamarim is special heter, that you're allowed to do this with Chamarim, Almanas, that they're going to give you the grain at the cheaper prices, even though you're in a more expensive place. Says Mara Adam Chashuv Shaini. So this is something we have a lot of times in Ribbis, that an Adam Chashuv has to be extra machmir himself, even in Dvarim HaMutarim, so that other people don't learn to be Mekil, even when it comes to Dvarim HaAsurim. So an Adam Chashuv has to be extra cautious about how he deals in business. So says Gemara, Boi Minei Rav Asi Rabbi Yochanan, Mal Lasos Bigrutaos. Cane. We've been discussing grain. What if it's not grain? What if it's little pieces of scrap metal that you're dealing with? That heter, that chamarim are allowed to take money here and buy in a cheaper place and give you back the produce in the cheaper place, is that dafka by tevua, or is it which is something that you can find anywhere, anytime? It's something that's always around, or is it even by things that just sometimes are on the market, sometimes aren't on the market, where it's not as reliable that you know that you're always going to be able to find it? So each time you buy it at a different market. So maybe the whole idea that you're gonna that people will give you ba'kafa, they'll give you a better deal, they'll give you more leeway in terms of paying, the suppliers will give you more leeway in terms of paying back. Maybe that doesn't apply when you don't have an ongoing consistent business with them, because it's more of a one-time thing that as the product becomes available, they'll sell it. So Amrlei Bikesh Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Lasos Kein B'Klei Pishtan. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi wanted to make this type of deal with Klei Pishtan, which is a schora that's not as common as grain. V'lovi Nichu Rabbi, and Rabbi Danasi wouldn't allow him to do that. He said, no, this is only a heter for grain. Igida Amri Bikesh Rabbi Lasos B'Grutaos Kein. Rabbi actually wanted to do this with Grutaos, with scrap metal. V'lovi Nichu Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi wouldn't allow it. So the answer is, no, you're not not allowed to do it. Only with grain you're allowed to do it, because grain is something where you have a consistent relationship with the suppliers, and therefore the enhancement of the reputation helps a lot. So that's where we have this special heter of chamarim. But if it's not grain, then you're not allowed to do it. So the Gemara says, okay, what about buying wine buying wine from a vineyard that has not yet produced the wine? You're buying future wine. Pardesa, you're buying wine from a kerem. So, machlok samurayim, if the grapes have not yet ripened, are you allowed to buy all the wine that this pardes will produce this year at a cheaper price, because you're paying for it right now? Rav Asar Shmuel Shari. Rav says you're not allowed to do that. That's ribis. The reason you're getting a cheaper price is because you're paying in advance. And Shmuel says that it's mutter. Rav Asar Kivin Dil Kamei Shavya Tvei Mischazik Yaganatalei. That since when you're going to get delivery of that wine is going to be worth a lot more than what you're paying for it today. So that looks like ribis, because you're paying a cheaper price, and because you're prepaying, that's why you're getting all that wine, that more expensive wine in the future. Shmuel Shari Kivin Dahavi Beitiyua Lom. Shmuel says, no, it's not ribis. You're paying for wine. Now, the fact that sometimes there's going to be the you're paying for whatever this kerem produces. Sometimes this kerem is going to be destroyed. It's not going to produce anything. So you're assuming some significant risk also. It's not that you're only benefiting from this deal and it's because you're prepaying, you're getting a better deal. No, the reason you're getting a better deal is because you're assuming risk. It could produce nothing and then you will have paid for nothing. So that's why you're getting a better deal on the wine. And that's perfectly mutter. Amr of Sim Barchia Umodi Rav Betori Dinafish Psedayu. Rav is moda that if the guy who buys the wine that this vineyard will produce is going to be in charge of being Botzer, he's the Anavim, he's going to be the one that's in charge of harvesting the vineyard with his own oxen, then it's for sure mutter, because he's definitely assuming risk then. Because when you bring your oxen into a vineyard, they often get beaten up by doing the work in the vineyard. They get scratched and they get and their feet get destroyed. So there is risk. There's definitely risk involved in the sense that you're going to lose money on your oxen. So that's enough to offset the fact that you're getting a better deal on the wine for the future. Okay, now the Gemara moves on to a slightly different topic. There is an Isser called Sa'a B'Sa'a. This is a sugya we'll have a couple of days from now, that I'm not allowed to lend you, let's say, a pound of sugar today, so that you'll pay me back in 2 weeks from now a pound of sugar, because the price of sugar might change between now and then. So I'm really giving you a dollar, and you're really giving me back $2. So that's an Isser D'Rabbanan called Sa'a B'Sa'a. What if you live in a place where the minig is that a sharecropper has to give you the sharecropper is the one that provides the seeds for the field? That was the deal you always had with him. He's the one that buys the seeds. He's the one that invests that, and still you get your share of the crop because you're the real owner of the field. But sometimes he doesn't have seeds to plant, and the Baal HaBayis will lend him some seeds al menas that will change the amount of grain that the Baal HaBayis gets back from the sharecropper at the end. So instead of I'm going to give you seeds to work on my field, and instead of you paying me back with those seeds, you're going to pay me back, instead of 10% of the grain that comes out of this field, you're going to pay me back 15% of the grain that comes out of the field. So that could look like a ribis problem. Because the aris already was zocha in the karka, and whatever chelek he's supposed to get from the karka. So when he borrows from the Baal HaBayis the zera al menas to pay back more grain, it could be the prices could be different. That could be a violation of sa'a b'sa'a, that he's giving me back more than I lent to him. So Amar l'Shmuel hanu d'shabshi shibsha. Shmuel gave advice to those people who have this kind of deal where they're providing the seeds on occasion to their sharecroppers. Hafoch ba'ara. He says what you should do is you should go and help a little bit in the plowing of the field. I know you don't like to get your hands dirty, and normally you have a sharecropper who does all the work. Go to the field and take a shovel and do some work for a minute or two, so that you're making a new kinyan in the land that belongs to the sharecropper right now, meaning the entire land, really the sharecropper has a certain sense of bailus on. So it's not just that you're lending him the seeds, you're actually making a new kinyan in the land, and therefore that's what you're getting paid the extra percentage for that new kinyan. halva va'aser. And if you don't do that, then it's going to be a ribbis problem, because then it's going to look like halva. That's going to be aser. Okay, Amalu Ravalanu, another case that looked like ribbis, but there's a way around it. Amalu Ravalahanu de Minatri Bagi. Rava told those people who guard fields with grain, and they guard the field until it's time to harvest the field. Pokwa fuchu bevedari. Go out and help in the Beis Hagranos with the production of that grain. Meaning even after the grain is already harvested, do something, do some work with that grain. And that way, your wages will only come due when you're finished working. So if you do some work after the harvesting, your wages will only come due then. Because the halacha is, your wages only come due when you're finished working. And at that time, they can pay you a little more. Meaning, the problem was as follows. Normally, you pay someone to watch the field, and then as soon as the field is harvested, you owe the person the money. But the Balei Asados in this place had a minhag that after they wouldn't pay them right away. They wouldn't pay them as soon as the harvest was over. They would first, work with the grain, bring it to the Beis Hagranos, and do whatever avodos needed to be done to prepare the grain to be sold. And then once the grain was ready, they would pay the workers, but they'd give them a tip on top of their wages. They'd add a little extra matana into the deal. So that looks like ribbis. Their wages were due 2 weeks ago, and they were. Road, let's say $1,000, but I'm waiting 2 weeks, I'll give him a tip. I'll give him $1,200. Because you're waiting 2 weeks, give him $1,200, that's ribbis. So the advice was, don't make it that your wages were due 2 weeks ago. Help out a little bit in the ongoing work that's happening. So you go to the goren and you help out a little bit. So now your wages are only due today, and included in your wages is the extra $200 because you helped out a little bit in the goren. The Rabbanan accused Rava that you are in violation of ribbis. Why? What did he do? Everyone else who has a farmer that works in their field would get four si'in of grain, or not si'in, but let's say four larger amounts of grain, X amount of grain, and they'd get paid in Nisan. You let the guy, the farmer, not pay you until Iyar, but then you charge him more. So by letting him keep it for longer and then charging him more, that's ribbis. Amar lahu atun kavdisun shelo kedin. Rava says, it's nice that you accuse me of wrongdoing. It's you who are doing wrong. Because ara la aris mishtabed. The land really is meshuba to the aris. It's meshuba to the sharecropper. He should be allowed to leave the grain in that karka until it's fully ripened. Iatun maslikisu luhu benisan. If you're throwing him out in Nisan and you're demanding payment in Nisan, mavsidtu luhu bekama. You're actually costing him a lot of money because the grain is not fully ripened yet in Nisan. I'm waiting until Iyar when the grain actually is fully ripened, and then he's gonna benefit a lot from that, because when the grain is fully ripened, he's going to be able to get a lot more out of it, and therefore I'm fully justified in charging him a higher price. Rav Mari Bar Rachel, Mashkenu Ahu Nachri Besa, a certain non-Jew, Rav Mari Bar Rachel lent money to a non-Jew. That non-Jew gave him a house as a collateral. Why is his name Rav Mari Bar Rachel? It's an unusual name. Normally we call people by their father's name. So Rashi points out that this Rachel was the daughter of Shmuel. The Gemara in the second paragraph of Ksubas talks about how Shmuel's daughters were held captive once, and in captivity she was impregnated, and that's where Rav Mari came from. So since it's a bizayon to talk about who his father was, because it was harasa shlo b'kedusha, even though at the end of the story the captor ended up converting and whatever, but still harasa shlo b'kedusha. So for his kavod, they always called him Rav Mari Bar Rachel by his mother's name rather than by his father's name. That's how Rashi explains. So anyway, so this Rav Mari Bar Rachel had loaned money to a guy, and as in return he got a house as a collateral. Hadar Zavna L'Rava. The guy turned around and sold that house to Rava. Not to Tresa Yachishasa. Rav Mari Bar Rachel continued to live in the house for 12 months. Shakal Agar Besa Amti Le L'Rava. And then after 12 months were over, he took the next year's rent and he brought it to Rava to prepay for the next year's rent on the house. But he never paid for that first year's rent on the house. So Amalei, as he explained himself, the reason I didn't pay you for the rent up until this point is because normally when you get a mashkon from someone, you're supposed to be able to keep it for a year. So you buy nachri l'salki lo'avimatzi misalikli hashtel lishkol mar agar besa. If the guy would have wanted to get me out of this house, even if he would have paid me back every cent of the loan, he would not have been able to throw me out of this house until a year is up, because as a mashkon, I'm allowed to keep it for a year. And therefore, I have free rein on this house for a year. Nothing you could do, no selling to Rava, no giving me my money back, would get me out of this house within a year, so I don't have to pay rent for that first year. But now, I have to pay you rent. So now I'm paying you for the future. Amalei, Rava said to Rav Mari, Iavi Adana, you know, if I would have known that this was a mashkon that he had given to you for a loan, as a, you know, that this was a collateral, I never would have bought this house from him. He didn't tell me that. He conveniently left that fact out. But now that I know that, I am bound. You know, all he's allowed to sell to me are his own rights in this house. So I am bound by whatever deal he has with you in this house. So this is an unusual fight in Dine Mamnus, where each one is claiming that they owe the other guy more, right? Each one is saying, no, I lose, right? So Rav is saying, I can't take this money from you, because the Nachri would not have been able to take this money from you, and I'm assuming his position in the house. Why could he not take this money from you? Because Kolemas lo masalki bezuze lo shakal agar besa. Until he pays you back the loan, he cannot take rent for this house. It's a mashkon. Anonami lo shakil nimilach agar besa adam masalki nimilach bezuze. Until the Nachri pays you back, I can't take rent from this house for you either. So therefore, he said he could not take the money. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses prepaying for wine. Amalei Ravim Barnish l'Ravashi. Ravim Barnish said to Ravashi, Chazim Mar Rabbanu Dekaachli Rabisa. You know, there are certain chachamim that are in violation of ribbis. Why? Diavi Zuzi Achamra B'Tishrei Umavchri La B'Teves. They pay for wine in Tishrei, and then they take delivery of the wine in Teves. Now in Tishrei, we don't yet know which wine is going to spoil, which wine is not going to spoil. In Teves, it's already been determined. We can already see which wine turned out good. So they're paying cheaper prices in Tishrei for a guaranteed product in Teves. So Amalei, Ravash said to Rav Varnish, that's not ribis. Inunami achamra kayavi, achalalo kayavi. They're paying money for wine, they're not paying money for vinegar. So meyikara, techamra chamra, techala chala. Whatever was going to sour completely has already begun the souring process when they paid this money. We just were unaware of it. We just didn't know about it because it was too early to detect. But the process was already in motion. So when they paid their money, they were paying the money for what is wine already and what will be wine. So he shaitu to come mavchuri. At the time of the taking of the wine, they're taking the good wine that they had already paid for 6 months ago. There's nothing wrong with that. Ravina aviyav zuzi lebnei akra de shanvasa. Ravina would give money to people who lived in a place called Shanvasa before they would be boats of the yayin, before they would take the grapes from the field, and with the assumption, with the deal, that they would give him wine after the Shatsa Batsir, based on the based on the current prices. So v'shavchi leitvei, and then when they'd give him some wine, v'tvei kufisa, they'd give him a little extra wine, more than the deal was. Asal kamid ravashi amalei mishari. So they say, you know, am I allowed to take this extra, or is that a violation of ribis? Meaning I prepaid, that's why they're giving me a little more than I paid for. Amalei in, he said, yeah, you're allowed to do it. Achuli yudukom achli gavach. They're giving it to you as a betoras mechila, to matana bialma. It's not an isra at all. So Ravina asked Ravashi another shayla. Amar lei, do I have to be choshesh that the wine that they have is maybe stolen wine? Because ha'ara lav diduhi, this land that they're selling me the wine from, that they're getting the grapes from, it wasn't really their land. What happened was, people owned this land, and it was foreclosed on because they couldn't pay their taxes. So the government, so they abandoned the land because they couldn't pay the tax on the land. These people came in, paid the taxes, and therefore took control of the land because they were willing to pay the taxes. The halacha is karka zayin in exelis. What it means, karka zayin in exelis, tell us is that there is no kinyan geneva, kinyan gezela on the karka. So the people who steal karka are now not the owners of the land. It still belongs to the original owners. So do I have to worry that just because they assumed ownership of this land by paying the taxes, that it's not really theirs and I'm taking a stolen product? Samalei ara letaska mishabda. The land is meshuba to whoever pays the taxes. Umalka amar mandi av taska lechalara. That's the king's rules. King's rules is whoever pays the taxes, he gets to own the land. The din of the malchusa is such, you're allowed to keep it. You know, there are people, there are tamidei chachamim that pay money for the head tax of people, and then they make those people work for them as a compensation for paying their head tax. So Rava said to Rav Papa, that's it's a good thing you asked me this question, because you might have suspected that there's wrongdoing over here. If I was dead, I wouldn't be able to give you this answer. So it's good you asked it to me while I'm still alive. Not sure what that's all about. But you should know this is what Rav Sheshes says. The avdus that they owe you, b'tafsa d'malka manach. That's based on the rules of the king. The king makes the rules. Whoever doesn't pay the taxes has to work for whoever does pay the taxes. And another situation where you can get someone to work for you, Rav Sa'ora Machua de Rava, have a takif inshi de lo malu. He used to take people who were bad guys, umayilu b'karka de Rava, and he would make them work for Rava. Amalei Rava Shapik Ravata, you're allowed to do that. Ditanina Reisa Sheinu Noi Keshura Minayin Shatarashi Lishtabid Bo. If you see someone misbehaving, you're allowed to make him work for you. How do I know that? Tamal Omar Liolim Bem Tavodu, because the pasuk says Liolim Bem Tavodu Uva Achechem, and you're allowed to do that to Achechem as well. Yachal Afilu Noi Keshura, you might think that even if he does good, you're allowed to do that to him. Tamal Omar Uva Achechem Nei Sol Ishba Achiv, that you're not allowed to make Achechem work very hard. So we see from there that if a guy is not doing the right thing, you're allowed to force him to work for you. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Amar Rav Chama tomorrow.